Hello and welcome to another episode of Risking Failure. I'm your host, Mark Dobson, as you've heard me say a gazillion times before, except on this particular occasion, Mick Dunn is not with us. Just due to life, we're trying to get together in the same space to be able to do the recording. However, his life didn't allow it, my life didn't allow it, and then so I get an email from Mick during the week saying, Dobbo, don't suppose you can do a recording on your own, you know, like just do the podcast with yourself. I was like, well, Mick, how do I have an honest conversation with myself? So he suggested that I go through some old audio tracks that I've got of me presenting at a particular conference or the like, something that might be valuable. And as I milled through it, it just didn't feel right. So I thought, well, maybe I'll just have an honest conversation with you all direct. So if you're driving in your car listening, or you've got your headphones on, or you're sitting at a computer or similar, it's just you and I talking today. And what I thought about covering was maybe just workshopping you through some fundamental ideas that I am always going on about when I go to conferences, and I think would help anybody. Like, they help me a lot, and they help my peer group and my friends and the clients. And they're just really some fundamental questions to think through your life. And they're different questions that you might typically be asking yourself. And I find most of the questions we're asking ourselves, that we don't even realize that the question's fundamentally wrong. And I remember seeing in the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? He says, sometimes some of the questions we ask are like asking the marital status of the number five. And I was like, that's true. Like, there's no answer to that. Like, why are we even asking the question? And a classic example of that is we ask friends and family, what are your goals? And I think that question is fundamentally flawed. And we've talked about it a little bit in the past, but I wanted to take you through a series of questions that it'd be worth you pondering, maybe jotting down some answers to. You don't have to. You can come back and listen to this again. In other forums, I'll get more extensive on it. But just even if you get a crass answer to some of these questions, you're probably going to find maybe a little more clarity, which is typically what I find in any kind of personal development industry or service or experience that you're having. You're looking for really more clarity so that you can move with some level of confidence. The first series of questions I want to discuss is understanding what your purpose on the planet might be. And it's a big question. However, I really find it comes down to being able to answer three simple questions. And the first question is, what is it that you're passionate about? Now, at first, there can be this sort of mystery, like, well, I don't know what my passion is. But really, your passion lies in the things that if you've got free time and you're in a good mood and you've got some energy, you tend to put your energy into this thing. So it might be that you can find that you're just pottering the garden. And as you're in the garden, time sort of disappears. You sort of lose the feel for time. You can do it indefinitely and it's getting dark. And you're like, oh, I suppose I should go inside. Or it might be spending time on YouTube, not because you're bored and you're slouching your chair and you're just double clicking whatever comes up on your screen, but because you're really interested, you're really engaged in it. It might be that you just love sport and then you can remember the number of every player that's ever played and their stats and the like, and you just have a real passion for sport. It might be the outdoors, but it's something that you particularly find a lot of joy in. And if you had the choice, you would spend time there and usually more time and you get lost in it. So that's your area of passion. Now, if you don't know, the answer is usually people. So it's usually something to do with the people that we interact with, whether it be immediate family or some strangers on the street or some people in another country trying to help, but it usually comes down to people. So that's the first question. And I'm just going to keep moving along. So if you haven't got it in your head yet, you might want to come back and workshop this. But if you take a wild stab in the dark, you'll be close. The next question is, if somebody was to enjoy that passion of yours, if you were to introduce them to it, what would you hope that they would experience having been involved in your passion? So if it's gardening, it might be, well, I'd love it if they realize how satisfying it is to create something, to grow it, and then to eat it and to enjoy sharing that with friends and just really savor the taste of food. Or it might be, I just want people to see how much incredible information is on YouTube or how funny it is, how even if you're having a bad day, you can laugh your butt off because of all these funny videos. Or if it's something to do with sport, it's like, oh, I just want people to feel like what it's like to be in a team, like the camaraderie. So there's an experience that you love in your area of passion, and you're hoping that if somebody was to interact with your area of passion, that they would experience that as well. So that's the second question. What is it you're hoping when people interact with your area of passion, and you being the facilitator of that, what is it that you hope that they would experience and feel? And then when you flush that answer out, you're really looking, it's not always the first thing that comes up. You're looking for a very emotive word. So you don't want people to say, oh, when I was in the garden, I felt good. Because good's a very neutral sort of term. We use it a lot. So you're looking for something that's a little bit more emotive. Something like, well, I want to feel awestruck or connected or just emotionally free or spiritual or something like that. And if it's not your nature to be that emotionally literate, You can just bounce it off someone else. Just say, oh, look, I'm trying to think of a better word than this. Like when I'm in the garden, I say I feel good, but what do you see? And then someone else can often tell you, well, you know, you seem really just enlightened when you're out there, or cheerful or playful or happy or just alive. My advice in this particular area is just look for something that's a little emotive. Okay, first two questions. Got them. Hope you're jotting them down because they're not coming by again unless you press play again. The next one is this. And what do you think then in your area of passion? And it could just be people. It's okay to be general. We don't have to be too specific here. What is your role in having people get to that emotion? So if it's about YouTube, is your role in creating fun on YouTube? Is it creating, or is it introducing, or is it building some sort of platform for people to laugh via online videos? Like, what's your role in it? Is it making? Is it giving? Is it sharing? There's some sort of role that you've got. Now, usually you can get the answers to these three questions down into three words that fit together. You've got a workshop with those, so it might be a little bit tricky today. But usually when people are looking for some kind of direction, they're either looking for something they want to feel, and the way to feel that is to create it for someone else. They're looking to be in an industry or an environment or spending time on something that they love, they're already passionate about, or they're looking to get their role right, that they either want to build or create or organize or share or design. And if they had their role right, then there'd be a certain level of fulfillment. And if you can get all three right, then there's a phenomenal level of fulfillment. So this is the first part of, say, designing your life, and so knowing what is your core purpose. And the core purpose will come down to an answer that crosses over the answers of all three of those. Now, there's other time to workshop that, but as Mick has just given me this opportunity to chat to you all, that is the first thing that I was like, this would be a good gift for people. Okay, part one. Are you ready for part two? Here we go. Part two is not what are your goals? Because if you've got a goal that you would like to own an investment property, say valued at $1 million, you might actually have to put aside $2,000 or $3,000 a week to hit the target in the time that you want to do it. As a result of having to put aside $2,000 or $3,000 a week, you might have to change certain behaviors, spending habits, earning habits, the amount of time you're working, the kind of job you've got. And although we've got the goal, the result is that, or the consequence of that goal might mean that we'd have to change our daily behaviors. And we don't move towards our goal, and we don't know why, but because we actually like the way we're living. So I find a better question is not what's your goal? It's how do you want to live on a daily basis? What do you want a regular week to look like 2, 3, 4, or 5 years from now? Do you want to see yourself working 4 days a week, 2 days a week with a passive stream of income? Do you want to see yourself having a house down the coast that you can enjoy? Do you want to see yourself traveling like overseas holidays 2 or 3 times a year? How do you want to live? Like, what's happening in the evenings? How's your body like handling situations? Are you going for walks? Are you going for runs? Are you exercising? What are you doing on the weekends? How much time are you spending with family? And if we start to design how we want to be living, then we can make decisions today that would create that and realize that sometimes the goals we have are not authentic. We don't know where they've come from. But when we invent them and we think we want them, we don't realize that to have them would actually mean changing our lifestyle or having a life that doesn't actually match what we deeply really want, and therefore we don't move forward towards a goal. So the way that I'd like to verify what we're moving towards, whether or not it's healthy and whether or not we're actually going to get it and feel good about ourselves, is really, okay, how do you want to live? Now, if you want to live a certain way where you've got 2 days a week off, and my whole life was like that. When I was a kid, my always goal was to earn a week's wage working 2 or 3 days a week at maximum. And not to boast, like I'm not trying to go, you know, but that's what I've done. I'm not a rich, I haven't got $1 million sitting anywhere, but I have a lifestyle and it's one I chose a long time ago, and I made decisions that would allow me to have this lifestyle. And I think when we think through how we want to live, then we can compare that to what our goals are, and we can go, well, hang on. Are the actions I'm taking today, which is the third question, are they in any way creating the opportunity for me to live that way in the future? And sometimes when we want to get something started, we can be out of balance. And I had a good friend of mine, Ryan, who will be interviewed on this progressively. We always say that, and we just haven't lined it up yet just due to life. But, you know, Ryan has been very successful in his business enterprises, and he openly says, because when he started his business, his life was out of whack. And I know whenever I help somebody train, or I've trained myself for a while there, my life gets out of whack. Training becomes the focus. And there's been other times when I've gone a spiritual journey where I've just like not paid any attention to my business, and my life's been out of whack while I launched this aspect of my life. If we have an awareness of how we want to live a few years from now, then we can look at the behaviors we're taking today and go, well, are these creating that opportunity? And if not, I may have to put extra effort in just for a short period of time and have my life out of whack a little bit, meaning that I'm doing extra hours or I'm spending more time in relationships or am I going on some sort of epic cleanse to get my body to a certain weight level so that I can live at that weight level for the rest of my life. We may have to put some extra time in. But typically, people have an experience in their life where there's a bit of conflict between the idea that they've got for their life, the behaviors they're doing now, and whether or not all of those match a purpose that they feel like they've got on the planet. And what we're really looking to do is get a harmony between all three. This is who I am. This is what I like to contribute to the planet. This is the emotion I would like to give to the people that I interact with. The medium might be an area of passion. It could be anything. It doesn't actually necessarily need to be a specific job or a specific industry, but fundamentally, we want people to experience a certain emotion. We would hope that while doing this, our life looked a little bit like this. And therefore, there's some actions I need to take today that would liberate that. Now, that might mean that we need to be in a different role, a different job, a different relationship, or we need to be developing our skill set to handle that job better, or our skill set to be able to handle that relationship better. But we need daily behaviors that match. And this is something that Brad always goes on about. And Brad just harps on, do your daily actions match and directly correlate with what it is that you're trying to achieve? And it's a healthy question. And I don't think I'm necessarily getting this right in my life, to be honest. I don't think we ever get it right. We have moments where we're absolutely nailing it. And then we have times where we reflect again and we go, oh, I could be doing this better. But I wanted to give a gift for this particular podcast because I'm not in an honest conversation with anyone else except for you sitting in your car or your computer, wherever you are, to think through these things. Because I find this is the building blocks. This is where it sort of begins. In my experience of 20 years doing personal development stuff, like I eventually found, well, this is where my happiness seems to sit. And this is, seems to work for a lot of people that I work with. So they're the questions. I recommend that you workshop them. I'm more than happy for you to email them into us and we're happy to give you some feedback. And we're more than happy to talk to somebody on air and actually talk to somebody through the answers to these questions. More than happy to do it. And it'll be interesting to talk to Mick about these things once he's listened back to all this. And we'll actually have an honest conversation if you can just turn up ever, Mick. You know, like, that's cool, man. I'll just carry the load. That's fine. But then once you started to map that out, whether you send it to us or you do it on your own, then the next question is, well, how can we start to make this really real? How can we actually start to make this so that it's alive in our life and it's not just a theory? And a lot of that is actually checking whether or not we've got both the skill set and the mindset to act on certain things. So, for example, in my industry, it's typical for anybody that's a consultant that they charge more per hour than most other people. But this also means they're not working every hour. But if you're going to charge more per hour, then you need to be able to provide a certain skill set, a unique level of capacity. And because you're providing something unique that creates value, then you can get paid more. The same with the elite level athlete. The athlete can do something particularly well, so they don't actually have to classically work 9 to 5 a week, although they've, you know, got a lot of responsibilities, a lot of training time. They have a different sort of income. Now, what's happening there is there's an ability level to start with, but then you've got to equip that with a skill. And we really need to look around at who has already got a skill set that can teach us and mentor us in this particular area. Very often, the mentors that we go to aren't necessarily incredibly valuable. They're good, especially if someone's charging you money. You've got to be aware, like, it's got to feel like a great deal. And if it feels like a lot of money for you, then it's a lot. It's too much money. But I really encourage people, if they're making this shift in behaviors, then you really want to get a return on the effort that you put in. If you're going to start allocating time on weekends or evenings or something to these things, we've got to make sure that we've got a very good strategy. And that's where you need to find someone who really knows the answers in the area and is getting legitimate, tangible results, not theoretical results, very tangible results, and go, teach me. And not to freeload off them every day, calling them like, you know, like as if they're going to do everything for you, because they're not. But we need to make sure we've got a very good strategy. And an easy example of that was, I was in a conversation with a coach many years ago, and their athlete said to him, look, I don't think my diet's right. The coach, who's a brilliant coach in their field, started to give advice regarding this person's diet. And he's gone, all right, well, do you eat chocolate? And they've said, yeah, I do. And they're going, well, let's clean out chocolate. And I stopped the conversation. I said, hang on, that's not a strategy. That's not a game plan. That's just a, you know, we hear that chocolate's bad, so they don't eat it. Now, a lot of these athletes are competing at such an incredible level and burning so many calories that chocolate's like a drop in the ocean. Like it's nothing. It's not really, that's not really the issue. And it could be, but we just got to look at the whole game plan before we actually start allocating a strategy. So what I'd really encourage you to do, if we start to see a life where we go, yeah, I'd like to live like this and map it out. Like I've got pages and pages on this stuff for myself, because the clearer you are, the more you can move towards it. If we've got something we want to move towards, then we want to make sure the actions that we're taking are valuable. And very often We're taking actions that we think or theorize or believe, and we've never tested. We're taking these actions consistently, just hoping, trusting that something magic will happen or it'll work out in the end. And really, if we go to someone who really knows the area, they can get us very tangible results very quickly. So my advice would be, if you start to create this life, then you go, all right, who's doing it and who can teach me how to do it and can I take on their behaviors? Now, the second challenge there is, well, I've got to have the mindset that would allow me to do that. So you've probably had an experience before when someone says, oh, look, you know what, you're really employable at a certain level. You should probably think about going for jobs that, you know, in price bracket, say 150 grand. At the moment, you're on 150, and it's 150 grand. And we'll have a conversation with ourselves almost, or almost justify a position saying, oh, no, I couldn't charge that kind of money. It's different for me. And what we've got there is the issue of a mindset. And we'll have this in so many areas of our lives, where they'll be like, wow, that girl's amazing. You should go and talk to her. And they're like, oh, no, she probably wouldn't be interested in me. And we've got a mindset that doesn't necessarily allow our talent. So someone can give us a fantastic strategy, but then we don't have the internal self-talk and the world belief and the attitude that lets us utilize that talent. And you would have heard me say before, it's all very well being the greatest piano player in the world, but if you don't feel comfortable playing in front of people or having your music recorded, then there's a limit to the joy that that music can bring. So we need a mindset that's going to liberate that. Even though this is a very small discussion, a small workshop, and it's a very unlike the rest of our discussions, although Mick, I'm sure, will come and give me his opinion later, as will everybody else, which I enjoy, actually. I wanted to throw this out as something that could be workshopped in a really healthy way. Now, when I workshop these things, what I'll do is I'll, and this is not advice, this is just how I go about these things when I have an experience where I hear something that really sits with me. I'll listen back to it and I'll jot down every question. And then I'll allocate time to actually go and do that, to actually write it out. So one of the great challenges we have in life is that little discussion with ourselves, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that. And we just don't. We don't even know why we don't. And that's both a mindset and a skill set issue. So the mindset and the skill set issue is this. The skill set is jot these down and actually allocate a time to do them. And it doesn't have to be an epic thing. It can just be like 20 minutes, 45 minutes, or a couple of 10-minute sessions spread through the week. It doesn't have to be this monstrous task. If you spend 5 minutes on this, it'll be better than nothing. Take a wild stab in the dark at it. Just be, don't try to get it right. Any progress, any jotting down is going to be better than doing nothing. So the first thing is listen back to this, jot down the questions, then allocate some time to doing it. It only needs to be 10 minutes. It doesn't need to be long. But write it down, write answers. If you say, I've just thought about it, that's fine. But that's like me telling you my email address and you trying to remember it and your brain can't until it's written down. It doesn't feel any real safety and clarity in it. It's worth jotting them down. And then it's worth, at some time, relaying it to someone else that you trust, that you really trust, because they're not going to knock this down. They're going to be intrigued by the idea and they're going to want to discuss it with you, because in discussion, we get to find a little bit more clarity and it's okay to not know. So when someone says, well, what are you going to do? Just quit your job and do this and this and this. It's okay just to say, no, I have got no idea. I'm just holding the uncertainty. I'm just discussing it. I'm just theorizing it, which is an interesting discussion about this podcast I heard. So you don't actually have to go out with that knowing. We're exploring an idea and it's okay to explore. And some people experience fear off the back of that. But my advice is to go on this journey is write down the questions, write down the answers, and then when it feels right, throw it out to other people. And as you throw it out to other people, you'll see their facial expressions, you'll hear their comments, and you'll find greater clarity because you'll learn more about what your idea is in relationship to the ideas around you, and you create more clarity for yourself. So that's the journey I'd go on. And then, of course, you need to go, well, who's going to be the mentor? Who's going to teach me how to do this? And don't get too gung-ho on that front, because you can't really force a mentor to come into your life. Sometimes you can. Sometimes you can give someone a call and they're happy to help. But really, most of the resources we need in life are available. We just haven't seen them, haven't recognized them, or haven't had a need for them. But when we get clarity about where we're moving, then we have a time when somebody just says something out of the blue and we go, oh my God, I didn't know you specialized in that. I didn't know you had a part-time job doing that. I didn't know you'd had success in that area. Like it was their private passion. It never really clicked. So don't hurry the mentor relationship, but definitely be open to it and allow this to unfold. Our role on the planet is just to get clarity about our essence, how that might look, and then to dive into it at 100 miles an hour as passionate as we can, using the most quality way that we possibly can. And remember, if you ain't smiling or if it doesn't feel fulfilling, it's not the way. All right, well, that's what a show sounds like without to mick around. It just goes for 20 minutes and it's pretty short. I hope it's incredibly valuable for you. Well, good on you, Dobson. And there are a few more people coming onto the risk list. So Joelle, spoke to Joelle the other day. She is on the risk list. I spoke to someone else too that listens. I think it was Caitlin. I think I saw Caitlin just join up onto the subscriber list. And if you're a listener and you haven't touched base yet, you're not on the risk list. And there'll be a time when that might bite you on the butt. So you want to be on the risk list. My dad is on the risk list. Great to have you on board. He was a little bit embarrassed at first because he goes, well, hang on, Mark. Like, you know, I'm your dad. Like, people won't want to know that. And I go, no, Dad, you might be our only listener. So we're pretty pleased. If all family and friends tell us that they're on, we're happy for that as well. Mick, we miss you here in Australia, but also on the show, as do the listeners. Maybe there's gold in this. Maybe you'll come back next week. You'll have your own response, Mick, and maybe you've workshopped it yourself and you can actually give us some gold. So it's always a pleasure, people. And now this is Wise Master Dobbo signing off without Mick Dunn here. But next week, Mick Dunn and Mark Dobson will discuss world problems. See you later, people. Bye.
You've been listening to Risking Failure. To join the community and access more free content, news and updates, subscribe at riskingfailure.com.